Chapter 13. And she passed me by, and I did not try to make her understand. 1901, when we knew MH 1772-1857, she told how they used to form for the country dances the triumph, the new rig ship to the light of the guttering wax in the paneled manses, and in cots to the blink of a dip. She spoke of the wild house-sitting and lemonding on carpet, on oak, and on sod, and the two long rows of ladies and gentlemen standing, and the figures the couples trod. She showed us the spot where the maypole was yearly planted, and where the bandsmen stood, while breeched and kerchief partners whirled, and panted to choose each other for good. She told of that far back day, when they learned astounded of the death of the King of France, of the terror, and then of Bonaparte's unbounded ambition and arrogance. Of how his threats woke warlike preparations along the southern strand, and how each night brought tremors and trepidations lest morning should see him land. She said as he had often heard the gibbet creaking as it swayed in the lightning flash, had caught from the neighboring town a small child shrieking at the cart tail under the lash. Dot dot, with cap-framed face and long gaze into the embers we seated around her knees, she would dwell on such dead themes, not as one who remembers, but rather as one who sees. She seemed one left behind of a band gone distant so far that no tongue could hail. Past things retold were to her as things existent, things present but as a tale. May 20, 1902. She hears the storm. There was a time in former years, while my roof tree was his, when I should have been distressed by fears at such a night as this. I should have murmured anxiously, he pricking rain strikes cold, his road is bare of hedge or tree, and he is getting old. But now the fitful chimney roar, the drone of thorncombe trees, the froom in flood upon the moor, the mud of millstock lees, the candle slanting sooty wicked, the thuds upon the thatch, the eavesdrops on the window flicked, the clacking garden hatch, and what they mean to wayfarers, I scarcely heed or mind. He has won that storm-tight roof of hers which earth grants all her kind. A wet night, I pace along, the rain shafts riddling me, mile after mile out by the moorland way, and up the hill, and through the yew leaves gray into the lane, and round the corner tree, where, as my clothing clams me, mire bestered, and the enfeebled light dies out of day, leaving the liquid shades to rain, I say, this is a hardship to be calendared. Yet sires of mine now perished and forgot, when worse beset, ere roads were shapen here, and night and storm were foes indeed to fear, times numberless have trudged across this spot in sturdy muteness on their strenuous lot, and taking all such toils as trifles mere. Before life and after, a time there was as one may guess and as, indeed, earth's testimonies tell before the birth of consciousness, when all went well. None suffered sickness, love, or loss, none knew regret, starved hope, or heart burnings, none cared whatever crash or cross brought rack to things. If something ceased, no tongue bewailed, if something winced and waned, no heart was wrung. If brightness dimmed, and dark prevailed, no sense was stung. But the disease of feeling germed, and primal rightness took the tinct of wrong, ere nations shall be reaffirmed how long, how long. New Year's Eve, I have finished another year, said God, and gray, green, white, and brown, I have strewn the leaf upon the sod, sealed up the worm within the clod, and let the last sun down. And what's the good of it? I said, had reasons made you call from formless void this earth we tread, when 99 can be read why not should be at all. Yea, sire, why shaped you us, who in this tabernacle groan, if ever a joy be found herein, such joy no man had wished to win, if he had never known. Then he, why labors logicless you may explain, not I. Since sealed I have wrought, without a guess, that I evolved a consciousness, to ask for reasons why. Strange that ephemeral creatures who by my own ordering are, should see the shortness of my view, use ethic tests I never knew, or made provision for. He sank to raptness as of yore, and opening New Year's Day wove it by road as theretofore, and went on working evermore in his unweeding way. 1906. God's education. I saw him steal the light away that haunted in her eye. It went so gently none could say more than that it was there one day and missing by and by. I watched her longer, and he stole her lily tints and rose. All her young sprightliness of soul next fell beneath his cold control, and disappeared like those. I asked, why do you serve her so? Do you, for some glad day, or tease her sweets? He said, oh no, they charm not me. I bid time throw them carelessly away. Said I, ye call that cruelty we, your poor mortal kind. He mused. He thought is new to me. Forsooth, though I men's master be, theirs is the teaching mind. To sincerity, O sweet sincerity, where modern methods be what scope for thine and thee. Life may be sad past saying, its greens forever graying, its faiths to dust decaying, and youth may have foreknown it, and riper seasons shown it, but custom cries, ice in it. Say ye rejoice, though grieving, believe, while unbelieving, behold, without perceiving. Yet, would men look at true things, and unilluded view things, and count to bear undue things, the real might mend the seeming, facts better therefore deeming, and life its disesteeming. February 1899. Panthera. For other forms of this legend first met within the 2nd century C. Origen contra Celsum, the Talmud, Sefer toldeth Jeshu, quoted fragments of lost apocryphal gospels, Strauss, Heckel, etc. Yea, as I sit here, crutched, and cricked, and bent, I think of Panthera, who underwent much from insidious aches in his decline, but his aches were not radical like mine. They were the twinges of old wounds, the feel of the hand he had lost, shorn by barbarian steel, which came back, so he said, at a change in the air, fingers and all, as if it still were there. My pains are otherwise. Upclosing cramps and stiffened tendons from this country's damps, where Panthera was never commandant. The fates sent him by way of the Levant. He had been blithe in his young manhood's time, and as centurion carried well his prime. In Ethiop, Araby, climes fair and fell, he had seen service, and had borne him well. Naught shook him then. He was serene as brave, yet later knew some shocks, and would grow grave when pondering them. Shocks less of corporal kind than phantom-like, that disarranged his mind. And it was in the way of warning me by much his junior against levity that he recounted them, and one in chief Panthera loved to set in bold relief. This was a tragedy of his eastern days, personal in touch, though I have sometimes thought that touch a possible delusion wrought of half-conviction carried to a craze his mind at last, being stressed by ails and age. Yet his good faith thereon I well could wage. I had said it long had been a wish with me, that I might leave a sigh in some small tree as channel for my sap, if not my name a, offspring even of no legitimate claim, in whose advance I secretly could joy. Thereat he warned. Ansel such wishes, boy. A son may be a comforter, a curse, a seer, a doer, a coward, a fool, yea, worse a criminal. That I could testify. Panthera has no guilty son. Cried I all unbelieving. Reend, you do not know, he darkly dropped. Rue, I've none now to show, for the law took him. Eh, in sooth, Jove shaped it so. His noon is not unlike, he again began, the noon these pricking memories print on me, eh, that day, when the sun grew copper red, and I served in Judea. Was a date. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.